Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
They were one of the feel-good stories of season 2019. Werribee Central's on an audacious run through the finals. A wonderful first semi-final win over Inverleigh with a goal from Josh Sutton after the final siren, but in the end stopped in their tracks by eventual Premier Bannockburn in the preliminary final. But gee, Galvin Park is a place that is jumping at the moment. Players everywhere on the list. And we're lucky enough to be joined by co-coach and, of course, Nick Smith. Nick, thanks for joining us. Good to see you down in Geelong for one of, well, many occasions this year, at least nine, and then hopefully some at St Albans.
Yeah, it'd be good to be back at that time of the year, and it's good to be here this time of the year, mate.
You look at 2019 and how you just fell short of playing off in a grand final, and you don't get that opportunity in 2020 to have the quick redemption. Now, I spoke to a couple of coaches about, you know, losses that, you know, have stuck in the pit of the stomach, and I spoke to Adam Donoghue about the loss to you guys, and he says 18 months on, he still thinks about it. Do you still think about the prelim loss and then what could have been, knowing that who beat you went on and won the flag?
It's funny. I think part of me actually felt better that Bannockburn went on and won the flag. Yeah, because part of you just goes, okay, we had a fair crack. And I think we were pretty confident if we got in, we could have, because our last game against Thompson, we smashed them at our ground. And so we were pretty confident to go into that game. But it's funny because a bit different to Buck, I think we went in with the expectation that finals would be okay. And then when you started making that run through and you get over the line after the siren, I think I called a bit of bonus play, you know, yep, a bit of multi-ball, you know, where you sort of unlock that bonus stage. I felt like that a little bit. And so although I was disappointed not to get there, I did feel like, okay, we've performed. Like once I got over my own disappointment at not getting to the grand final, because that's what it's all about, the reflection was that's a great year.
Yep.
I think back to 2 years earlier, I think we lost to Bannockburn by 180 points in the last round before I took over, I think in 2017. And so to think that you then lost to them in a prelim a couple of years later, I think that shows, you know, good growth of our club. I was disappointed to not be able to respond to that immediately, but again, everyone was in the same boat. Yep. And now we're ready to do that this year, and we feel like, yeah, we've added some pieces that hopefully will get us those couple of extra steps that we're after.
On reflection, factoring a couple of things in, firstly, the emotion that comes with winning after the siren, and the photos are fantastic, you know, of Josh obviously being mobbed, not only by his teammates, but, gee, some blokes that probably moved off onto the ground fairly quickly that probably have never run that fast again. And also the six-day turnaround, and just little things like that probably on reflection conspire against you.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's actually the highlight of my footy career. I've never had that happen either as a player or a coach. And when you think what's on the line, I remember I get goosebumps just thinking back to it because I couldn't watch. I actually didn't watch it because I just couldn't bear with the fact that it had come down to this. I actually think we moved on from that okay. To be honest, I just think Bannockburn, you know, played a better game on the day. We were dumb. We reflected on that. We played exactly how they wanted us to. We didn't run enough. Like all of our reflection was, yep, we weren't happy with how we play, and that's what we've been working on now for, what is it, almost 18 months. How long is it?
Gosh. Yeah, 18 months, yeah. Now it's a different coaching structure, yourself and Reece Prismal. Reece finally will get the chance to pull on the green and gold in round one. Can you talk to us about the influence he's had on the group since being appointed in late 2019?
Oh, he's a ripper. he's an absolute footy nuffy like me, so we probably talk way too much. I think our wives are over it already. And I love his passion for the game is great. And the fact that he's out on the ground, it gives me a different perspective than when you're a non-playing coach. You've got to kind of guess a lot of stuff, and if you know Blake has been our captain but kind of playing deep defense often doesn't necessarily know what's going up around the ground, etc. So Priz's input even across the preseason and practice matches of 2020, and then this year has just been great. It just gives me a bit different perspective, and he also sets great standards because he's a real hard trainer. I don't know if you know, he's obsessed with running and, you know, so really puts in the work, set a lot of standards even in the off year, you know, to try and keep himself in good shape. And to be honest, mate, I'm looking forward to seeing him play because he's a very good player and we're happy to have him from that perspective as well.
He's got the number 3 in front of the birthday. Is the year off going to have been good for him in a way that, you know, he's played so much senior footy over his journey that, you know, chance to freshen up the body, you know, going into maybe, you know, season 15 or 16 as a senior footballer?
I think once you get post 30. I don't think anyone wants to lose a year. But I think if you're going to lose a year, you want to lose it being able to rest and recover, you know. So, and he's the sort of guy that literally did the old-fashioned miles and the legs focused. I think he ended up training for a marathon. So, you know, it's exactly what you'd expect a really good player to do, to look after himself and make sure he's in good shape at the start of this year, and he's set a lot of the standards for how we train and go about it, and he's going to be great for our young developing midfield.
Yep. Has he dragged some players up with him?
Oh, absolutely, but he's not alone in that. Like, we've added Reece Miles in that year, Matty Miller. Just the experience that they bring in the midfield to go alongside people like Chesty and Brad Carlton and Connor Linehan Cunningham, who'll probably play through there this year. It's just been great because it just means we have a good mix. Yeah, so we can either go with experience or youth, or generally speaking, we try and get a mix of it so that we get best of both worlds.
All right, you've done a little bit of recruiting. You've been, in terms of outs from that 2019, there were a couple last year that we spoke about. Sleep Dalton was one. There was one other. Who else?
Josh Sloan.
Yeah. So both have gone to the US punting, is that right?
Yeah, so Sloan is actually over there. He got into a college, and Sleep Dalton's still sort of part of the program and sort of, auditioning for schools.
So is
and that
Pro
sort of
Kick?
Stuff.
Is he going through Pro Kick?
Yeah, down here in Geelong. Yep. So, and they're two big losses. If you remember, Sloaney actually ended up being our ruckman, which is, considering his size and his youth and something, that's definitely something we've addressed since. And we feel like we've now got two good ruckmen, because we've got Brad Neurath, and we also have another little bonus that rolled in over 2020, which is Paddy Daly, who comes from country footy. And yeah, we think we're going to have a good one too there. So we think we've covered him.
Okay. Where does Daly come from?
He's actually a Werribee local, but he was playing. I can't remember where he was playing. I should probably know that. But he played country footy a bit. He comes from a basketball background, very raw, and he's probably about 6'6", maybe. Yeah, okay. And can really jump. So yeah, we think it's a good 1-2 with him and Brad.
All right. Also added Tyler Crennan from Werribee Districts. I think we're going to see something special in Tyler Crennan.
Yeah. Again, just a. He's a one-pointer, being a previous junior. And, yep. So we're excited to add him to the mix as well. And we haven't seen too much of him because he's just been trained. He's a very silky mover. Yep. I think he played one practice match and, really shows a lot. I think he'll add a lot of finish to some of the work that the inside mids do.
Yep. James Goff has hit the headlines in recent days as an addition to Werribee Centrals. You know him well. You coached him at Mount Waverley. In a year, he kicked 100 goals. I think he might have kicked 20 against Sandown. Is that right? Had a day out?
Yeah, he kicked 54 that day.
So
he's kicked two bags of 100, I think, over his career. And yeah, that's one of the coach's dream, where you get a phone call from someone saying, "Hey, mate, I'm moving to Geelong. Can I come play with you?" And because I know him so well and what he can bring, I couldn't get him to training fast enough. So we only sort of touched base a couple of weeks ago. He's already played in one intra-club and a practice match with us. And yeah, we're just hoping that he might add to our team come round one.
Dave Stretton has VFL experience at Williamstown, was going to play at Ocean Grove in 2020. That hasn't eventuated. How did Dave come about that he'd end up at Galvin Park?
Yeah, similar. I think he just knew a couple of guys, and similar to Matty Miller, just the travel. You know, when you get a little bit older, young family, we started chatting to him saying, "Mate, we can solve that problem for you," because he's a Werribee local, and I think lives not far from the ground. So, got him over the line with that, and he's been a ripper because he's a great communicator, very passionate about his footy, so probably contributes verbally both at training and out on the field, which is something that we've lacked because we tend to have a pretty young, I call them a team full of Humphreys, mate, they don't say much at all. So adding someone like him has been great. So
Mark Yates comes from Glenorden with some good raps. Now, key defender, is that right?
Yeah, centre half back, sort of intercept half back, because I don't think we mentioned that Braden Smith is another one who was probably a key contributor in 2019, who at the moment is not going around again because he's in the Fieries. He's doing all of his training and sort of just starting out there. And so Mark Yates was the attempt to kind of replace him as well as you could.
Yep.
And he comes, I think, being a best on ground, I think, in the Div 2 grand final in the WRFL, and cousins with Nathan Johnson, so a good family connection. I think they've been working on trying to get him down for a while. So, yeah, we haven't seen too much of him because he's had a bit of hamstring trouble over in terms of games, but he's a ripper, got a great left foot peg, and yeah, he's a good mover and he's really fitted in well with the boys that, you know, as part of the new club.
Yep. I want to ask you about a young fella that we haven't seen play footy. You know him pretty well. He hasn't played since round 5, 2019. He might have played in the Interleague game for the GDFL, and we haven't cited Jackson Smith since, but my spies tell me that he has been loitering around Galvin Park with football boots and jumper on.
Yeah, well, he bought new boots last week, so that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Yeah, he hasn't been training much. He hasn't been around much. He struggled to recover from the scaphoid injury. I just remember being told that they can be problematic, and that's exactly what he found. He kept trying to come back. He had surgery, but it just never felt right, and it really killed him to have to watch that prelim. In fact, if you look, he's one of the first on the pile in the game before, which probably didn't help his didn't help his recovery. But yeah, it really killed him to have to watch that, because I think he knew that he could have been a, you know, pretty significant contributor to maybe changing that result. And but then the timing of the year off, probably he had already missed half a year and then missed another year. Yeah. And he's just, to be honest, he's been slow to return. But just recently been back at training, played twos in our intra-club. Oh, sorry, in our practice match on Thursday. Yeah, and we'll probably have a run around with the ones on the weekend. So we're pretty excited to have him back and get that long left peg going again.
Yep. 22 or 23 now?
I think he's, 22.
Yep, okay. Yep.
So he's got a lot of footy in front of him, yeah.
And would Goffey be probably eyes lit up that Jackson might be putting it down his throat too?
Yeah, he has some good memories. I think he credits a fair few of those 100 goals to Jacko's left leg.
Yeah. Oh, we wish him luck, because he showed plenty of talent in the year and a bit that we got to see him. I think he polled pretty well in the Whitley Medal in 2018
as
well.
I think he came third. He won our best and fairest pretty easily that year. And he was really excited. I think if you remember, we actually elevated him to co-captain in 2019, which was part of his struggle, was that he felt like he had the responsibility to try and lead, but wasn't able to contribute. And I don't know if you know, he actually ended up sort of being the bench coach for the twos in their run through as well, which was a great way of him staying involved and sort of, you know, so it was a good indication of the fact that he really wanted us to do well. So, yeah, look, we're not putting much pressure on him, because it is something that's kind of come to him late and he's probably a bit underprepared, but we'll give him every chance. And if he's ready, well, then we look forward to having him back in the team whenever he's physically ready to do that.
Fantastic. Talking about your reserves, gee, there's some blokes are going to miss out on some footy come round one. You might have the biggest list in local football.
Yeah, we've been having horrible discussions over it, and last night I had to sit down, guys, and even talk about what do we do with everyone that can't play. So I've been listening to all your coaches' chats, because I love them, and but especially to listen to the GDFL ones, and we literally average between 50 and 60 senior guys at training every night. Yep. And because they're all training, because they know they have to train to get a game.
Yep.
And then that just...
You're living every coach's dream, right? Yeah.
Well, I can warn you, it's not necessarily a dream, because try coming up with a drill that has 60 people involved. we have talked about that. We believe it's a product of the hard work and the effort we've built to build a culture, to build a place where people want to come, and more importantly, a place where people don't want to leave. So what happens is, over the last 2 or 3 years, we've recruited 10, 15, 20 new blokes, but we haven't lost anyone, generally speaking. And so what I think I said to you, that I reckon the other night, out of the 60 that were there, 50 of them had played ones in the time that I've been there. Yep. And that's the transition that's happened in our group. And I think I said to you, we actually played an intra-club between our reserves.
Yep.
I've been around 40, 30. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
You usually don't get any numbers for an intra-club. So we played the seniors with a squad of 28, and then the reserves played each other.
Yep. You're a bit like Luxembourg. You're in the middle of all these big clubs. You know, you've got Hoppers Crossing and, you know, Werribee Districts and all that, and here's Werribee Central sort of planted in the middle, playing in a completely different competition. Is that... Once what might have been a negative is now a massive positive, that the country footy feel the footballers want, they're getting, you know, in suburban Melbourne, but are getting it at Werribee?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe I get the best of both worlds. I get to train 5 minutes from home in what is a metropolitan setting, but I get to play country footy.
Yeah.
I think I love that as a player, you know, when I played there myself, and I think the guys love that too. But I think what we built What gives us a bit of a point of difference in the local areas, we give kids a go.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, if you're 19 at districts, we'll get comfortable.
Yeah.
It's going to take you a long time to get in the set. Remember, we got Chad Buck straight out of that system. We got BT,
yeah.
Blake Taylor straight out of that system, where they were literally playing under the noses of them but never got a chance,
yeah.
And now they're regular senior players in our team.
Yeah.
And to be honest, mate, without being too controversial, that's why for us, we'd love to see the divisions come into Geelong and
yeah.
start climbing our way up in that, because that would help us even more if eventually end up in a Div 2 or ideally playing Div 1 Geelong yeah. footy. As a Werribee Central's team, I think we could, yeah, you could do even more in terms of recruiting.
Yep. Have you noticed, and you were public about this last year when the salary cap came in, so everybody, the flat limit is $100,000, so that now, the WRFL had been playing it higher than that, the Essendon League, which is not far away, playing at $250,000, but they're at 100. You guys are at 70. Have you noticed that having an impact?
Yeah, we think it's helped for sure, because relatively speaking, our cut was small. And we're thankful for that. That's why we didn't put up any fight against it.
Yep.
Now you're going head to head with districts, but they're only 30 grand more.
Yep.
And so where previously, remember, I think I spoke to you about like Div 2 teams, or Div 3 teams in Western Region would come and poach our players because their salary cap was higher,
yep.
even though the level of footy was lower.
Yep.
Oh, look, we're very proud of the fact that we hung on to our entire list, that every yeah. player accepted the 30% cut that we did across the board, because that's the way we chose to do it. And we're hopeful that we can continue to hang on to the players as we continue to build success. That's what we're hoping.
Blake Quarrier captained you, was co-captain with Jacko in 2019. Will he captain the club again in 2021, or is that still to be decided?
No, at the moment we'll go in with him as captain, but we're going to elevate Matty Miller to a co-captain position.
Yep.
Just so he has a bit of support there. That was the intent of Jacko, but we're going to take that title from him, just allow him to play, and then BT, Blake Taylor, will be vice-captain. So that'll be our captaincy group. And then we have an expanded leadership group of about 8 to 10 players that we consult in terms of making sure that the club is listening to the players and moving forward. That was one of the things I brought in a couple of years ago, and it's just been great. I can always bounce it off them. They're very honest and open, and that has 3 or 4 members of the reserves represented in that as well.
How's the new surface at Geelong Park?
Beautiful, yeah. We're actually on it for the first time last night. So, it feels like a brand new ground. I mean, having played there myself, I don't think I've ever played there where there's not dirt in both goal squares and and a sand pit in the middle, and it's just there. Look, and
is there still a turf cricket wicket?
Still a turf, but it's very, very flat now, and has yeah. been beautifully looked after. And because we've hardly touched it, like in terms of having that year off, remembering that it was meant to be kind of ready, I think, for the year before, cricket's got good use of it. And yeah, last night was our first run on, and just adjusting to, because our training ground's pretty small.
And you're going to get used to it pretty quickly too, because I think 4 of your first 5 are at home.
Yeah, can't complain about that. I think we've hit the jackpot, because we've got a couple of clubs that are rebuilding, or I think Geelong West is one, isn't it, that's redoing their ground. I think that was meant to be, we were meant to be away in round one.
Yep, so 4 of your first 5 at home, but a tricky 4 of first 5. You get Geelong West, who finalists in 2018, Aniki, who are going to, we suspect, be improved, massive recruiting, especially out of the Western region. Winchelsea, we know we're always, Central's and Winchelsea have had a little rivalry yeah. recently. Bannockburn, as we know, and North Geelong are probably going to be better as well. So you're going to get a real indication through that by the time you've played those first 4 home games of where you sit.
Yeah, it's funny. When I look at this season, I don't look at any game and say, well, that's going to be an easy one. I loved listening to Darren and Joel talk as well, because I love what Darren's been doing down at Cry. And you like to see the fact that I think you're going to have a much more even comp. We expect probably that the good teams will be the same teams as last year, but I think the general standard is going to go up across the board. That's what we're planning for. And look, we want to go into every game with that outlook that we can win it. So we talk about that confidence is knowing you can win, and arrogance is thinking you can't lose. So we go in confident.
Yeah.
That's how we're approaching this year. And our sort of catchphrase this year is unfinished business. So we're looking forward to that Bannockburn game.
Nick, always a pleasure talking footy with you. I can't wait for season 2020 to get 2021 to get underway. 2020 is never going to get underway. Any night footy scheduled for you guys?
I think we've got a twilight game against Winch, I think.
Yep.
Is our only one. Yeah, we didn't do that because we weren't 100% sure of our ground and that sort of stuff. Yep. And to be honest, it's actually we found that it doesn't necessarily help our footy to be playing at night. So we would much rather it be nice and dry during the day.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.